Well, you've heard it said. Sometime in your life, maybe recently, maybe years ago, but you've heard it said in all probability, my whole life has been nothing but trials and tribulations. Now, why would you say something like that? That's a defeatist attitude. Why would you say that or even think about it? You're giving in because it's true, right? I know we all go through it one time or another. We call it a trial, and sometimes we call it a tribulation. But, you know, that's part of life. We're going to go through trials and tribulations. It's true. And why not? Because we grow through our trials and tribulations. Now, you might say, well, I don't want to hear about it. I got enough without hearing you preaching about it. Well, I'm going to help you get over those trials and tribulations. Not me personally, but through this message directed to you, the listener, from God the Father through Jesus Christ. Do you get that? Not me. I mean, I can't help you get over it. But I can give you some information that may help you. In fact, it will help you the way it's helped me. Trials and tribulations. That's why I've called my message today Proof Positive. I'm going to give you proof positive. Positive. Now, if you have to slave, say, all summer in a hot kitchen or a sweltering lumber camp, then that's trials and tribulations enough, isn't it? And there are people that have to do this. And it has an impact on you. It's bound to. Anytime you have a trial, it's bound to have an impact on you. You might even say, well, it cramps my style. That's what it does. Well, certainly it does. There's no doubt about that. I, for one, well, I can relate. For I've labored in a sweaty, sweltering military mess hall when I was in the military, of course. And I've also worked in a sticky, mosquito-infested lumber camp, making about $4 a day when I was younger, a lot younger. I mean, talk about trials and tribulations. Oh, yeah. For sure. They're there. For sure. But, you know, there's another type of trial and another type of tribulation that's far removed from a hot kitchen or a clammy lumber camp. It's the one mentioned in Matthew 24, verse 21. For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time. No, nor ever shall be. Let me read that again. For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time. No, nor ever shall be. Let's have a word of prayer, and then we'll get into the message. Heavenly Father, Lord, we know trials and tribulations will come our way, whether we're saved or not. But when we're saved, Lord, we know we have someone that we can give them to, someone who can help us through them. And of course, that's you, Lord God. And the way we come to you is through Jesus Christ, our blessed Savior. We thank you, Lord, for his finished work at Calvary. And Lord, I ask that you'd give me utterance throughout this message. I ask, Lord, that you'd unstop the ears of those who hear it, Lord, that they may be blessed when all is said and done. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Now, put up your hands. Put up your hands if you believe the scripture here in Matthew 24:21, which I just quoted, is talking about the rapture. It's talking about the rapture given in 1 Corinthians 15. Or the rapture told about in 1 Thessalonians 4. Okay, I'm going to read a couple of these to you. First Thessalonians 4, verse 16 and 17. Okay, listen carefully. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. That's in 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 16 and 17. Now, if we move over to 2 Thessalonians, now we're talking about trials and tribulations, right? Okay, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, I'll read verse 10 through 12. Okay, verse 10. And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie. And verse 12, that they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Had pleasure in unrighteousness. Well, you see where I'm coming from here? I mean, if you think you've got trials and tribulations now, well, if you don't know the Lord as your blessed Savior, you can be sure your trials and tribulations will be far greater in the years to come. When the rapture or snatching away occurs, which is for the body of Christ, that's those who are saved, the saints. Well, Christ doesn't set foot upon the earth. Like a lot of people get confused and think he does, but he doesn't. But he remains in the clouds as the voice of the archangel calls for the saved in Christ, the saints, the saved, to come up hither. Come up hither. Since we are not appointed to wrath, well, we will not enter the great tribulation, we, the saints, the saved, with those who have rejected Christ. They will enter into the great tribulation, which is a time of Jacob's trouble, which was meant for Israel, not for us, not for the Gentiles, but we will enter in nonetheless if we're not saved, if we're not believers in Christ. Now, there are several verses in 2 Thessalonians 2, which I read already, okay? Now, you can read them yourself. Go back to them. 2 Thessalonians 1, you can read them. And 2 Thessalonians 2, you can read again. Now, notice the words in verse 11 in 2 Thessalonians 2. Verse 11. Notice these very important words, which is really what this message is all about. Strong delusion. Did you ever hear that before? Strong delusion. People just kind of roll over that like it's not there. They don't mention it. They don't like to talk about it. Preachers don't like to preach on it. Well, it's there. And it's there for a reason. Strong delusion, that they should believe a lie. That is the strong delusion, that the unbelievers, the Christ rejectors, shall or should believe a lie. Do you know what a delusion is? Do you know what a strong delusion is? Well, I just told you what a strong delusion is. Who is it? Who is it that God will send a strong delusion to? Did you hear what I said? Who is it? Well, if we look at verse 10, we read, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, the unbelieving, the Christ rejectors, right? And why they preach? And why will they perish? Why will they perish? Because, and this is ultra important here, because they received not the love of the truth that they might be saved. Verse 11. And for this cause, what cause is that? not believing, for this cause God shall send them what? Strong delusion, which is a false belief. That's the delusion. They'll believe a lie, and they'll be damned. That they all might be damned, says verse 12, who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Wow. Well, now here's where I get a bit cruel and dogmatic. I don't mean to be cruel, but I have to be dogmatic. And they kind of go together sometimes. Here's the scenario. Are you ready? You witness, and you don't stop witnessing. Why? Because God doesn't want anybody to perish. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Now, let's shrink these perishing Christ rejectors down to just a handful, just for the sake of making a point here, okay? Now, say your own family. How's that? Okay, let's go for it. What the heck? Let's throw in the next door neighbor as well. Let's throw in the Catholic school down the street. Okay? Now, you say Catholics are not Christ rejectors. Well, after spending over 40 years myself in Catholicism, I can tell you with all assurance that Catholicism is an abomination in the eyes of God, in the eyes of a holy and righteous God. And they crucify our Savior, Jesus Christ, anew every day. They also worship idols. And you know what? I don't like to say this, but it's true. And they rape and abuse little children. I'm not saying that others don't, but I know for a fact about Catholicism after spending 47 years in it. You see, a lot of people, well, they use their religion as a guarantee for their salvation. Oh, yeah, I go to church Sunday morning. Of course, they don't go Sunday night. They don't go in the middle of the week. I notice driving around where I live here, even in Newmarket, Ontario. There's a church not far from here down the street. It's not a Baptist church. It's not a Catholic church. United Church, I think it is. Anyway, what's the difference? It's a church, and they have a big sign out the front. It's all it says on the sign is Sunday morning worship. And they give the time, 9 o'clock or 10 o'clock. That's all. That's all that's going on in that church. Eh? I drive by that almost every day, and that sign never changed. Sunday morning worship, 9 o'clock. Sunday morning worship, 9 o'clock. Wow. What's going on the rest of the week, the rest of the time? Oh, well, I'm going to leave that up to you. You can check that out. But I'll tell you one thing. It's not pleasing to God. You see, a lot of people use their religion. Their religion as a guarantee for their salvation. I'm a Catholic, they say. I'm going to heaven. I'm a Catholic. Or I'm a Baptist, so I am going to heaven. Or, hey, I'm an ISIS extremist. Extremist? No, that's not it. Extremist. Ah. And I believe that Allah is God. And I'm going to heaven, and so forth, and so on, and so on. How about this one? I'm a sinner, and I have repented and believed in the gospel of Jesus Christ, so I am going to heaven. Okay, that's the best one. And, well, for you Catholics, you got to repent and turn. Turn from what? Turn from your wicked ways, worshiping idols for one thing. So many people count on their heritage, you see, their surroundings, and they boast of who or what they are. And they believe they are in the eyes of God, but they're not really fully informed. Now, I was raised in a log cabin, so that doesn't make me a log. People, when the rapture occurs, when the rapture occurs, if you're not a child of the King, you will believe a lie. And your destiny will be confirmed. It will be sealed. Now, pay no mind to those left behind movies, I urge you. They give you a false hope that is no hope at all. No hope at all. If you think you can change your mind when the rapture happens, guess again. The word of God is clear. You will come under strong delusion and believe a lie. Believe a lie. In fact, the rapture is as the twinkling of an eye. That's how fast it is. So you might say, oh, well, where did my brother go? Oh, where did my sister go? Oh, where did my mom and dad go? Oh, there must be a rapture. Oh, I believe. And you're going to catch up with them. No, you don't. You see, you become instantly, when Jesus comes in the clouds for his church, for his saints, and the trump sounds, and the voice of the archangel says, come up hither, that's it. Only the saints of God will hear that voice, and they will be whisked away up into the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. You may turn around and see their garments or something lying on the floor or on the ground. And you may say to yourself, oh, it's true. Okay, I believe, and I'm going. No, you missed it. You know, it's not like missing a taxi and getting another. It's not like missing your lunch and having dinner. No, you missed it. Period. The resolve... Well, it's not really a resolve, but it is if you believe it. But like I said, it's too late. God is not willing that any should perish. As I told you that at the outset. My friends, Jesus paid it all. Jesus paid it all. Amen? Amen. Now, before we close off this little chat, you must listen very, very carefully, for God is not the author of confusion. And a lot of people get confused because, well, for many reasons, but the main reason people get confused is because there are so many different Bibles out there. And I've mentioned this before. So many of them. Like the last count was like somewhere around 400. That's a lot of different Bibles. You know, a lot of them are closely related to each other. The words are almost the same, but there are omissions, and there are additions, you know, and God didn't have omissions or additions in his word. No, there's only one Bible, and I've studied a lot. There's only one Bible that is the true Word of God, and that's the 1611 King James Authorized Version. Now, you read Psalm 12, 6 and 7. Go ahead. I'm not going to even quote it to you. I'm going to let you go to Psalm 12, 6 and 7. Remember that. Go read it yourself, and it'll tell you what God has said to us about his word. Maybe you'll think differently once you see that. Now, I have alluded to left behind movies that present a false illusion that will virtually nullify a strong delusion. Now, illusion means false, unreal, misleading. If we go back to 2 Thessalonians 2, verses 10 to 12, now, I'm going to read this once more with you, just because it's better to read it than to talk about it. And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion, and they should believe a lie. that they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Amen. Strong delusion. Those two important words mean the difference between you getting saved and being raptured out of here and not being saved and raptured out before the tribulation. You'll believe a lie. You'll be damned. You'll not have that second chance. Oh my. However, it would seem that while the Christ rejectors will be lost, there will still be many. There will still be many who have not either heard the gospel or perhaps not said no after hearing it. Now, that's a real Christ rejector. If I come to you and I witness to you and give you the gospel of Jesus Christ, you say, no, I don't believe that. Well, you're a Christ rejector. Now, the Bible may not be clearly understood about such a claim. Nonetheless, the strong delusion and the fact that they will be damned cannot be sidestepped. You know, God would not have had that put in there. Be damned. Those who reject it. If it weren't true. Now, some Bibles take that out because they don't want people to worry. They think, oh, well, you know, hey, you'll go into the tribulation period, yeah, but you still get a chance to get saved. Yeah? Well, not according to the strong delusion, you'll believe a lie. Now, there are lots of people, many, many, who will get saved during the tribulation, but they will face great persecution. And they will have to flee to the mountains and the crevices with Israel, with the Jews, because it's a time of Jacob's trouble, not a time of Gentile trouble, but you will be caught up with them. And if you get caught, it's curtains, as they say. The guillotine waits for you. Unless you deny Christ, you will go to the guillotine. And, you know, it's a no-win situation. If you deny Christ, okay, you miss the guillotine, but you still are lost and will perish and go to hell. So, if you believe in the guillotine or you believe, you say, I believe, then you're going to have your head gone. Head gone. Got that? Oh, man. There are three important phrases. Now, I'm getting near the end of this message. Three important phrases that remain in God's Word. I just want to go through them briefly. Number one, received not the love of the truth. Now, if I come to you and I say, oh, your uncle died. Did you know your uncle died? Because I just got it hot off the wire. And you say, well, I didn't receive that yet. When did that happen? It just happened. You're not going to believe it until you see confirmation, are you? You need that's the love of the truth, right? People tell you the truth. You don't want to believe it until you get confirmation. Well, that makes sense. But you can't wait until the rapture happens to get confirmation that it will happen. That's not faith. For by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of ourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Number two, you will believe a lie. I just said that. Okay, but these are strong, important phrases that are in God's Word. And if you don't see them there, you better check out what Bible you're reading. Because your Bible could send you to hell. Ultimately, it could. Number three, be damned who believed not the truth. Well, it all comes to a head in these three important phrases. Be damned who believed not the truth. You didn't believe in the truth, so you will be what? Damned. Now, the Bible, God's Word says, will be damned who believe not the truth. The truth being that Christ died for your sins, and you believe that. And that's the bottom line. That's the gospel. But if you don't believe that, then you are damned. Okay, now in summation, we must consider, first of all, there will be no believers left behind at the rapture. Anybody who's saved, anybody who truly believes in the gospel of Jesus Christ, will be taken out at the rapture. There will be no missionaries. There will be no preachers. We're talking about people who are truly saved now, because there are a lot of preachers who aren't truly saved. And I don't know about missionaries. But anyway, those who do get saved during the tribulation, and the Bible's clear, will be plenty of them, many, will be plenteous, and suffer great persecution. There will be great persecution. Now, you know what that persecution is. I already told you about it, about having to go and hide in the crevices of the rocks where the Jews are hiding out to avoid the Antichrist. Well, I don't know. I don't know about you, but I'm glad that I received Christ already many years ago. I'm glad. And I still believe, and there ain't nobody can take that away from me, because I can't lose that salvation. But, you know, I wouldn't want to go in to the tribulation anyhow, anyway, without being a true Christian. And you know something? If you're a true Christian, you can't go into the tribulation. So you see how it works? You can't. You won't. You don't. That's God's promise to us. When that call comes from the clouds, come up hither, you, if you're truly saved, if you truly believe, you will be taken out. Now, the dead in Christ, which means those who are gone on, died before us, or in the graves, their bodies are there, but their souls in heaven, they will be taken out first. But we who are left will follow them. This all happens in the twinkling of an eye. Isn't that fast? So don't say, well, I'll just watch and keep an eye, and if these things happen, you won't see it. You won't see a thing, except maybe rags or clothes or whatever on the ground, or somebody you're talking to disappearing suddenly. Just think of that. You're talking to your girlfriend now, and your girlfriend's saved, and you're not. And she's been witnessing to you for years. And suddenly the rapture occurs, and the call to come up hither. Your girlfriend's saved. She's gone. All you see in front of you is her clothes lying on the floor. Uh-oh. What are you going to do then? Too late. You will come under that strong delusion. You will believe a lie. You will be damned. Those are not nice words to have to tell people. Come on, people. Let's get a grip on things. Let's believe. Repent and believe, says the Word of God. I want to thank you for listening to this message, and I pray you got something out of it. If nothing more than just the truth, because it's all truth. Oh, please. God's not willing that any should perish. Now, I ask you that you'd visit my website often, you know, battlesitforchristtillhecomes.net. There's lots of good stuff on there that'll help you to understand. Articles, over 260 sermons, and growing every week. Thank you. God bless. Amen. Amen.